like to acknowledge that this is Class 10.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We're whitewater rafting while we wait.
I heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. As a check-in, let's go around today and say in one sentence or one phrase only, what's the coolest thing that happened to you all week?
I bought a new wallet to replace the one that was missing with everything I own in it.
New wallet to attract new money.
It was fun to pick out.
Your wallet should always be nice, because every time you get it out, you want it to exude prosperity. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to look nice.
Well, the last one was. It was pretty new, but and I had one of those million-dollar bills in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put another one in.
Good.
Okay, this is Kimberly. I had a really nice dinner out without the kids with my husband on Thursday.
Right.
And it was just really nice. And what was really cool is that we got to use a gift certificate, and we met the manager, and we just had a really good time. And it was good. It was really fun. And then we just enjoyed each other and good food.
That's very good. I have a good, I'm going to interject here before I hear from Carrie. A great exercise to do, even if you've done it before, is to really look at where you keep your money. If you keep it in a wallet, if you just keep it in your purse, if you keep it in a money clip, if you just shove it in your pocket, and really look at how you keep it, because that'll say a lot about, you know, really how you're feeling about money. And, you know, if everything's all crumpled up, if, you know, things are all disorganized in your wallet, know that that's holding the vibration, too. And every time you go in to look at it, it's kind of like how you feel if you walk into a room. It's the same thing. It becomes your environment for money. So it's a good little exercise to do and become aware of, like, where am I at right now with money? Let me look at my wallet. If there's no money in there, if you need to go to the bank, I know it's one of the worst feelings to look in your wallet and need money and go, it's not there. So I highly recommend doing that.
Even if you don't spend a lot of cash or things and you're tracking your money through credit cards and debit cards?
Yeah, even if you just look and see how are all the credit cards organized. Can you look for things? You have to shuffle through them. Does it feel good, or does it feel like you're tolerating in some way? I know on mine, noticed the other day with Eva, we have a couple of different credit cards for our business, and I got confused because I have our two Abundance Abounds credit cards next to each other and used one I didn't want to use. And so, really, it's a toleration, because that's happened before where I get confused, you know, they're right next to each other. I might just automatically pull out Wells Fargo when I really wanted Advanta. So, really, for me, it would work better if I separated them, because it would make me more conscious any time I looked in there.
That's wild. Huh. There's a credit card in my wallet that I don't like to use because I know it's like our last resort.
Interesting. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And we just put it in there, like, in the last week, because we've been buying stuff for our house faster than we have income.
And so how does it feel to have that credit card in the wallet?
Not good.
What would feel better?
Oh, man. I don't know. I've always had credit cards, so that credit card in particular.
If it's used as a last resort and it doesn't feel good because it feels like it'll pinch you off, or it means, oh, gosh, we're really in trouble if we're using this one, or we're spending too much if we're using this one, you either need to create a new relationship with that credit card, or you simply can't use it.
Yeah, right.
Or you just take it out of the wallet so you're not looking at it all the time.
Yeah.
The other thing. First of all, looking at it as their last resort, I'm not quite sure how abundant that is, but it could be an abundance perspective. It really could be. So you leave it at home. What I have also found, because I do that too, I'll say, I'm leaving all of these here. I don't need them. And if once in a while I'd need them, they thought, well, we can just call it up anyway.
Uh-huh.
They didn't even need my card.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great, great, great exercise. Ladies out there, even your purse, how do you feel about that? How do you feel when you open it? Is it organized, or do you care? All of those things are symptomatic, if you will, of how you're holding goods, your material things, and your valuable.
This is Kimberly, and I had learned the hugest lesson from Gina about keeping $100 in my wallet, $100 bill, and it has come in handy so many times, and I have been so amazed at how many times like someone was offering to buy dinner and they didn't have, their credit card didn't work or they wouldn't take credit cards or for whatever reason. I'm like, oh, no problem. I got $100 bill right here. And they're just like, what?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it does. I mean, and I always, always replace it. And it just feels so good no matter what it takes. And I've really encouraged my husband to do that because he's the one that just, you know, never has gas, never has cash, you know. And I finally, like, let go of making sure he always had a $100 bill. I just always made sure I had two and he needed some cash. I'm like, here, honey, you know. So it just feels really good to, you know, for me just to be prepared for anything. And I do. I love lining them all up from my one to my hundred to my million.
Exactly.
It's very empowering.
And I love that, Eva, you said that about the purse. Here's what I've noticed. I've actually lost a lot of stuff out of my purse from purses that don't have a snap or a zipper on top, so I was tolerating that because I'm constantly flinging my purse wherever. And when I have a cute purse that I absolutely adore and I walk in someplace, it just feels abundant to me, no matter where I'm at, to be sporting something that feels good. And Eva has a certain purse she absolutely loves.
Yes, that was nice. Did we share that with them already on this class? I can't remember. But it was one that Gina had bought for herself, and I just fell in love with it. And I kept trying to find one like it, and I went through like three purses. In fact, I think I bought three in one day, trying to get the essence of that thing, and it just didn't happen. And finally, Gina just gave it to me. And I'm still carrying that. This is years ago.
That's attraction.
Mm-hmm.
This is Rita.
Uh-huh.
I've never liked to carry a purse at all. I've always not liked it. I've always kept it in the car or wherever. It's just something to carry with me, which I've not liked to do. When I have to have money where I'm going, at least lately, especially if it's informal, I carry a fanny pack, and that's not big enough to put a wallet in. So what does that say about me? Is that why I'm broke? I don't like purses.
No. How does it work for you to have a fanny pack?
It's fine because my arms are free. I just don't like carrying stuff that I don't really need.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. If it feels good to you and it feels like you're not in toleration of anything and it just feels good, then it is good.
Okay.
You don't need to carry a purse. Just make sure that you like it. It's in working condition. You know, the zippers all work great. The belt that goes around your body works for you. It's not frayed. It feels good.
And the thing is if you're carrying your money or your credit cards in it, is just feeling good about that.
Okay.
It's not so much about the wallet, but it is about how you take care of your money and valuables.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know that I do that very well either. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, and here's an analogy that has come up a couple of times that I love, and it's to look at the way you handle your money and your valuables. If you were to handle your lover in the same way that you treat them and that you look on them and that you have emotional charges about, would they still be around?
I see. Yeah.
And so it's really nurturing, taking care of, respecting, all of those things, appreciating what you have, taking care of it, enjoying it in there. I love the $100 bill. That's always something that's really cool because it does feel abundant.
Yeah.
Does anybody in the class have a charge on charge cards, credit card debt?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes.
Okay. We can speak to that in a little bit. I just think it's really important. I've learned over the years, and I know some of you, we've worked with you on this before, it's really a blessing. And you can shift the whole way you are with appreciating. I know if it weren't for credit cards, I wouldn't have everything from the car that I have to any spur-of-the-moment purchases. To me, they absolutely equate freedom. So I'd like to spend some time on that today, if you guys want to. Does anybody want to?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Great. Good, good, good.
Julie?
Yes?
What's the coolest thing that's happened to you all week?
I looked on your website and saw that you did something, the instant audio. You had something on a website that had your voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I did that for my website. I took on that I'm looking to have 20 people in a class. I've basically been teaching a particular class over the last year, little bits and pieces, and then I realized I could pull all of that together and teach it as a series and teach kind of like the best of what I've learned over the year, what I've learned, the best I've learned out of my classes. And then I took on getting 20 people registered this month for the class, and I kept thinking, you know, what is my most powerful method of communicating with people, and that's talking to people. So I was kept thinking of all the different ways I could get in front of a lot of people. I was like browsing as I was thinking about it, and I came across your website somehow, and then I was like, oh, that's an idea. You know, like there's a couple thousand people that come to the website on a regular basis, so I thought if they click on that, then they can hear, and then I can
just
really talk to them.
Another fun thing for you to do is you can do that and send that instant audio people to click on a special message in your newsletter.
Okay.
I've seen it done. Eve has done it. I think that's really cool.
Cool.
Because then it goes right into people's email box. I mean, I've only seen maybe two or three people do that, and I always click on them. Always. Want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah. Very cool.
Cool. Well,
that's the coolest thing that happened.
That is cool.
I had a thought for Frank. You know the credit card you asked about, Frank, about your last resort?
Yes.
What if you changed it and looked at it as if it were your reserves?
That's a good point. Like, if that, yeah, I can see that. So
like
my reserves.
Tons of reserves with this card.
Yeah.
Good. So looking at it as reserves instead of last resort.
Yeah, I can live with that.
Does it feel better?
Yeah, it feels alive. It was a very good point. Yeah, I can tell, yeah.
This is why you don't want to save for a rainy day. Right? People say, well, we're saving for a rainy day. So what are you setting yourself up for? Rainy days. So you said, save for joyful things.
So does that mean we get to save for funny beaches?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Save for the abundance. Save for the fun. Save for the joy.
Who does the different money in the jars, Eva? Is that Harvecker?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you could set up your credit card. Okay. Every credit card has its own purpose in my wallet. Every credit card. I have my shopping credit card. Like this, it's for spur of the moment, spontaneous purchases. It's all I use it for, and it's my mileage card. And then I have my personal for just little things every day. And then there's even separate credit cards for my business. I use them for different things. So I use it as my jars for all my different places for money. So you can have all kinds of fun. Just realize even the way that you set up your finances with your credit cards, checking accounts, it's all got to be convenient. It's as if there were tangible things in your office. I've had a professional organizer come in, and they ask great coaching questions, you know, Gina, why is this certain thing placed here? And I'll say, well, I don't know. I just put it there. I didn't think about, was it convenient? Did it create flow in my office? And she'll say, well, what would make more sense? It might make more sense to put it over here. Well, it's the same thing with your finances. Does it make sense? Does it create flow? I noticed probably about 6 months ago, I have three different banks I go to. One for Abundance Abounds, one's for Masterpiece Coaching, and one for Personal. I have been doing that for years. Didn't even think about how inconvenient that is. It's completely inconvenient. So I'm going to condense so that I only go to one bank, which is Wells Fargo. I'll keep my other credit union because I can just send stuff into there. But I was tolerating going to all these different banks to make deposits and switch money over. It was crazy. But I was so used to it, I didn't even question, could there be a more convenient way? So are we ready to talk about credit cards?
So I would like to at least acknowledge that this is Class 10. Talking about credit cards would be a very good thing to speak about because the class is about extreme inspired action. And maybe this week we're going to get you all into some extreme inspired action around this subject. Who knows?
Hey, I got a question. I really want to have fun creating money and knowing that it's something that I just want to have fun doing it. Pay attention to that instead of it being... I don't feel like I can have fun and actually make money doing it.
So are you saying that you're not having fun in doing your real estate?
Yeah, I'm just not having fun. I don't have fun a lot when I'm trying to make money sometimes. I go up and down with it. Like, I really go up and down with it. And I haven't figured out what creates the flow that creates money for me.
Well... One thing is I have heard you have fun before.
You have? Okay, good.
I can't tell you.
Oh, my goodness. You've talked about how you've even had fun making your calls. You met this person or that person.
Right.
And so you have. It, you said something that was key to me, and it was when I'm trying to make money.
Oh, yeah, when I'm trying to make money, right, instead of I'm making money.
Well, it's
or just having fun in the game of it.
Yeah.
When you're trying to make money, it sounds a little bit like I have to go out and I have to make something happen. You know, I got to be the rainmaker. I got to, you know, I got to hustle. I got the pressure's on. I got to make something happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to get behind the eight ball in order to create money sometimes. And now that my wife has taken over the finances, I don't have that there. Like, I don't even know why I'm making money now.
Whoa.
Because she's taking it out of my hand.
What is a different perspective versus I got to go make money? How do you want to be about it?
I wanted to add a question, too, for today about making bigger money, going to that next level.
That's what I wanted, too. All right. I'm going to put myself back on you.
Oh, Frank, you're funny. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I want to actually answer Frank's question. Do not get off mute, Frank. And this is part of it. If we can get you to separate what I do for a living, what is the service or what is my job, however you want to frame it. I don't have a hang-up on any of those things, so if you do, then you need to switch how you look at that, too. What I do for a living is separate than how I generate money. If I started coaching because I want to make money, then I'm in deep doo-doo because now I cannot be present for the thing that I'm doing and have fun on it because I'm trying to get the money. So if someone called me and said, you know, hey, I'm interested in coaching, if I'm so busy trying to get the sale, I'm not going to have fun, and I'm going to be in my head, and I'm going to try to say the right things, and it's not going to be a whole bunch of fun. I'm going to be attached to the outcome. So if I can just be with people and do the thing that I do best, which is coaching, for some of you it's going to be, you know, talking to people to see if they want to sell a house or buy a house. Whatever it is, the two are separate. Unless, of course, you have no hang-up about it, but then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it's really two separate issues. Go play, and then you still hold the vision over here. It's like if your left hand held the money intention and the right hand held having fun doing what you do for a living. They're two separate things. And Eva, do you have something to add to that?
I would just say to really get up and set your intention to have fun with it and make it a game for the day. This is sometimes I get kind of bogged down in everything that's going on, too, and I'll think, wait a minute, where's the adventure? How can I have this be fun? Let's just get curious about what I can do today. Let's make this thing happen from a game kind of curious fun place, not because I have to make something happen. So I take that whole serious side out of it. What would make this fun for you? What is the game you could create around what you're doing?
Eva, this is Sherry. Is that when I'm thinking about extreme inspired action, for today, is that what you're talking about with fun?
Well, that could be the extreme action, is that I'm going to make this such a game and such fun that it's going to completely shift how I'm being around my business or whatever it is that I'm doing.
Okay.
That might be. And then so it might be tapping into what would that be for you. So what would an extreme inspire, what would have my heart going pitter-patter and, oh my God, can I do this? And yes, let's go for it, kind of. Energy.
Okay. And also an extreme inspired action might be to stop tolerating something in your business. For instance, two things have come up for me in the last couple of days, and one was we have this homework quote that we've been trying to get to for this marketing coach that we have, and we just keep putting it off, and I said today, I seriously don't want to do it, and Eva says, me neither. I said, let's cancel the session. It's such a relief. I don't want to do it. It seems like torture.
I was sitting in that same mode, and then when Gina called and said, let's look at the calendar, my energy just went,
and so that was an extreme expired action to cancel.
To cancel, because we've been working with her, what, is it 3 months now?
Mm-hmm.
And we have put her off before. You know, we've got money in the bank on this thing, and we just said, hey, you know what, we're stepping out.
Mm.
We're just going to step out, hold whatever we paid you, and when we're ready, we'll come back, but we're dropping it. So right in the middle of a project, we've decided to drop it.
And, okay, here's what where I'm stumped, I guess. So that's actually not doing something.
Well, yes. that could be the most courageous thing you could do.
Okay.
So don't get hung up when we talk about extreme inspired action, that it has to be a to-do. The inspired action might be that you stop and do nothing. The inspired action might be when I was working with the chiropractor, challenging her to take a week off the business when what she was trying to do was grow the business. For her, it was to stop everything.
I also must say, another extreme inspired action yesterday is I needed to confront someone in our business that you and I use that wasn't feeling good, and I had to tell a hard truth. And for some reason, I love this person dearly. For me, it felt like just, oh, God, I don't want to do this. I'm really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I didn't do it yesterday. Today, I just was inspired. I did it, and it was forthright. I laid it all out there. I said, Eva, here's what I'm going to write. She said, great. For me, that was pretty, it had me on edge.
It was. And notice what we say about extreme inspired actions.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to speak to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel inspiring to actually have that communication with her yesterday. We were inspired to look at how we need to handle this and how we need to handle this moving forward. The contrast inspired us to really getting clear on how we need to handle this piece of our business. And had we pushed the button on an email yesterday, coming from where we were standing, which was not feeling good, not really wanting to have to do this, it just would not have worked out. And today, Gina calls me, reads it, and both of us are feeling in the neutral zone, and yes, and sure, that works, we can do it, and we push the button. So sometimes the extreme inspired action is no action, and also notice that the word inspired is key.
If you're inspired, you will definitely feel powerful. If you've ever done a ropes course, yesterday it felt like the situation was a high ropes course to me. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm scared. If I could have crawled under a rock and let Eva handle it all by herself, that's what I would have done. I felt totally scared, like a little girl. I don't want to deal with this. Today I felt, like Eva said, you know, it was neutral. It felt powerful. Sometimes feeling inspired will still have your heart pounding, but it will be exhilaration because you know what's on the other side is something really cool. I've used the analogy way too many times, but it's so darn appropriate. I went skydiving with my uncle on Sunday. He was doing a tandem, and I kept asking him the whole time, are you nervous? And I'm just excited because we're going, and it's a normal thing for me to do. And I kept, you know, oh, yeah, I should really check in with him. How's he doing? You nervous? Nope. You nervous? Nope. Probably asked him five times, and then he says, I'm nervous about when I get to the door. You know, that whole thing right at the door. And I said, okay. And he did. I could see him on the plane. He was still joking around, but I could see him, you know, get real serious when it came time to go to the door. Now, was his heart pounding? Heck yeah. But he was still going to go forward with it because he knew the experience on the ride down was going to make it all worth it. And that's how you'll feel, you know, like I felt today. I felt a little nervous, just a tad, speaking the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know what's going to be on the other side. Like, this is a good thing. I know this is going to be big. And if there's a mess that's created or something doesn't work out, we can fix it. And with an extreme inspired action, you won't even worry about, is this going to work or not? It feels like almost something I must do.
Also, I have to say that noticing when it's best to wait, because the way that it was put out there, it was totally without emotional charge. It was not about pointing fingers or anything like that. It was just, hey, here's the truth. Here's where we notice about it. Here's what we need to do differently, and how do we do this?
So here's my question. Yesterday, it wasn't necessarily inspiring. So it's in hindsight that you can see that not doing it yesterday.
No, it was foresight.
It was in the moment.
It was total foresight.
Okay, so you knew that yesterday you all made a conscious choice not to do it. It's not in hindsight going, boy, aren't we glad we didn't do it yesterday.
No. Because it didn't feel good.
Okay.
It didn't feel good to be in this. It didn't feel good not to say something. It didn't feel good to say something.
Okay.
It just felt good to do something, and that's what inspired Gina to actually create
the
communication that we needed to have, yet yesterday was not the day to send it.
Okay.
There was an intention set forth, though, and the intention was, I said, at first I was going to wait until I talked to somebody else, so it meant until next week, and I said, I can't wait till next week. I need to talk to her this week. So there was an intention set forth, but I knew I was just too whacked out about it.
I've been thinking about inspired action for a while and about what feels good. What's harder for me is when the action is to not do something, and I can look back on it in hindsight and go, boy, I can see how X and Y all lined up. But in the moment, it doesn't always feel, I can't see it.
Something feels like your inner wisdom, your inner being is in touch with you, because if you look back and said, boy, am I glad I didn't do that, the truth is you didn't do something. So something is guiding
something
that.
Something was guiding me. Okay, I just
yeah.
didn't necessarily
so acknowledge that.
Okay.
Definitely acknowledge that, because the more you acknowledge when that happens, the more sensitive you'll begin to be, so that it will be at a much more conscious level
okay.
that you make those decisions, even in those disconnected moments.
Okay, that makes sense. Because it's the inaction that inspired inaction.
There you go. There you go.
Kind of a stumper sometimes
yes,
for me.
Yes, so sometimes the action definitely is inaction.
Okay.
You know, that can feel like action when you're like, oh, I need to do this.
I ought to. All that stuff. Like,
right.
Oh, okay.
There's a place, and I don't know if I've heard her just say this in live workshops or maybe it's on some of her tapes, but Byron Katie says something really great, and I remind myself of this when I'm thinking something needs to happen, or how come a certain person isn't calling me yet, like,
uh-huh.
gosh, why haven't they called? This is important. And it's like, is it really true that they need to call? No. How do you know? Because when it's time to call, they will.
And it will be okay, because if you're not feeling okay, there's no reason to be doing anything about it.
How do you know when it's time for you to do something? Well, you do it. Eve and I were talking about this yesterday in terms of relationships for me, and we were talking about an old relationship that I had kept plugging away at, and I kept saying, I would ask myself, why am I not leaving this relationship? It doesn't necessarily feel good. I don't understand why I'm here. And I always had told myself, because I really believe this, I know I'll leave when it's time to leave. That's how I'll know it's time to leave. I'll make a decision and I'll leave. And until then, this is where I'm at. I'll know what to do. And you do know what to do. And what I'm noticing about you is I can almost see it in your face if I was in front of you, into your head. I can almost see your brows furrowing, you know, when you're trying to figure it out. I think that you really have access to your knowing, and you just need to trust it. You could even intend, by the way, to make it more clear for you. It's almost like your intuition bonks you on the head, so you really take notice.
The most important thing is to check in with how is it feeling for you. Like, if it feels like you're up in your head, stop and just check in with how it feels, and that will tell you immediately whether you need to move forward or not. And if you're not feeling good, you need to get in a different vibration before you do take any action.
Here's my fear with this. Okay, so I want to create this speaking business, and part of the things that I have felt that I haven't done well is I've not acted. I've not done things to make it happen. And so when I start having a lot of gremlins about the fact that I'm not doing something. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
You are not alone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to take inspired action on it right now? Would that be your focus this week?
I want it to just happen. I'm not about acting. I just want it to happen.
Well,
I don't know how to answer that question.
So here for you, it feels like the question for you to be putting out there and being open to whatever comes back to you, which will be your inspiration, is the what would be my inspired action around this. The thing is, if it's inspired, it's not going to feel like you're in resistance to doing it.
And it's not going to feel like a show.
It's going to feel fun. It's going to feel joyful. It's like wild horses wouldn't be able to keep you away, because da-ding, 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 oh my gosh, that's it.
Okay.
And you'll feel free, and it'll be easy. And I think that when you hear the word action, even with the inspired in front of it, it feels like effort is what I'm hearing based on
yeah.
what you're saying. And it doesn't have to be that way.
But what do you think you have to do?
Oh. The whole song and dance, the whole, write a book, have a website, do teleclasses, do, you know, be grand and get on a plane every day. And it's very grand and big.
Well, are you willing to let go of that thought?
I want to. Am I willing to? I'm not doing those things.
But here's the thing. The thought is what's causing you stress. You think that you have to do all these things in order to get what you want. The thought is causing you stress. Why would you want to hold on to it?
You're not doing them anyway, so give it up. You don't have to, and you don't even have to hold the thought. Now, let me just take 2 minutes here. I mean, let's do the release technique on this if you're willing. Just, are you willing to do that right now?
I am.
Okay, so feel the thought and feel how it feels to you and feel where you feel that in your body.
I might cry.
That's okay. Crying is a good thing.
Okay.
We encourage it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that takes, just go to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And now, could you let it go? Just could you?
Am I able to?
No, could you? Do you think, could you let that go?
I could.
Not forever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then would you let that go? Just for now. Just for now.
Really want to.
Okay. And if that's as far as you can go, that's okay. Just be open to whatever starts to show up, okay? And cry if you need to cry. Truly, seriously, that is your cleanse. The things are bubbling up and out. That's a good thing. You just keep holding to what you want. I want to let it go. I want to let it go. That's what you want to put out there. Not that you have to do anything. You just keep putting that out there, and it will start to ease. The energy will start to shift around it. And in the release technique, and I don't know if we mentioned this last week or not, but even if you say, no, I can't let it go, you actually start releasing on it.
I'm curious to know, what do you think is going to happen if you let the thought go?
Then I won't be successful at this.
Mm.
It won't happen. And then I'll be a fraud, or I'll have wasted all my time trying to build something that didn't ever come true. I'll prove some people right. I won't have what I want.
Well, is it happening right now? I mean, are you getting what you want right now?
In dribbles and drabbles, yes.
Okay.
Not in the scale that I want.
If it's not happening the way you want now, would you just be willing to try something different for, say, a month?
You know I want to say yes.
About a week. Let's make it easy. How about a day? Just a day. You can always go back.
And you're just saying, not give up on my dream.
Never.
Not on the dream.
Do. See,
never.
Here's what you've made up. In order for me to get this, it needs to look like this, this, and this. It is such a crock. It doesn't even make sense. Your logical mind has, you know, heard that it's pieced some things together and it's made it into a truth. Therefore, if that's what you hold as the truth, then you can't get in a good feeling place unless you were doing the things you're supposed to do, being a good girl, being a good business girl. And so since you're not doing it anyways, it's kind of like a diet. You know, you're thinking, the only way to lose weight is if I do this particular diet, but you're not adhering to the diet anyways, so then you're feeling bad, and then all of a sudden it's a relief if you just throw the diet out.
So I just released that it's got to be so hard and all about doing.
Right.
What have you learned in this class? I want you to be honest. Have you learned in this class that it's not about the how, it's about how you feel?
I have, and there's a piece of me, yes, and I've witnessed it, you guys. I mean, I have, and I believe it.
And it kind of busts up the whole theory if you apply it. If it doesn't matter about the how, there is a 1,000,001 ways to get to where you want to go. The extreme inspired action for you is to actually let go of the thought. That's the extreme inspired action.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels to me that you're holding it has to be a certain way, like you've already got it in your mind, I want to do nothing and it come, but what if you let go of this thought and the ideas come that are just joyful and fun? It ends up being action, but it's such fulfilling action. In other words, be open to how it may come into you and be open to any way it comes into you will be joyful, will be easy, will be effortless, will be fun.
I think what I'm getting, you guys, is that my connection, that success and hard work are so intertwined.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the concepts, but I'm having a really hard time teasing those two apart.
What I would suggest is you're going to retrain, you're going to practice thinking a new thought all week. You have to be present with the thoughts that come in and actually start separating them out. Like, instead of just keeping thinking the thought, like, oh, I'm not doing this stuff, I got to do this stuff, stop and, like, examine what your thoughts are doing, maybe do some journaling, or remember, you're collapsing all these different things.
Uh-huh.
And to start being more conscious about it and deal with it versus being on the merry-go-round of the thought. You keep thinking the thought, step off the merry-go-round and separate all the thoughts and really look at them. That will be your practice. We can't get you to get it right now. I mean, it's like this mind-boggling thing.
You're right. It's too large.
But it's doable, and you're already along it because you're aware of what it is. I mean,
yeah.
Even something as simple as playing the what-if-up game every time this comes in, whether you believe it or not.
Right.
Just doing the what-if-up game just for a week.
Mm-hmm. I've had good moments with that.
Yes,
I've experienced this, I know. It just, to be fully... In a knowing that it can all happen, all based on only good feeling, positive stuff, is still a difference.
That's okay. You're chiseling away at it, though.
Okay. Okay.
See, remember, you're chiseling away at it. You're moving forward. No, you're not going to like wake up maybe and then all of a sudden it's all gone and done. But the more you keep doing it, the more you have those little moments. You're chiseling away, and then all of a sudden you're going to get at that 51% point, and it's going to really shift. But be willing to be persistent with holding to this.
I want you all to know I'm trying.
We know you are. And we're highly encouraging you and supporting you in this. That's all. We just want to make sure that you keep your eye on your vision.
And I want to bring this loop back around to how do I make more money. What we just were talking about here with Sherry is the same thing. If it's all on vibration, you're not going to focus on getting the group contracts and all this. You're going to really be giving attention to the more money because you've got the good increments down and now you're ready to go out of that box and create more money. So start focusing on more money, acting like a person who does create the more money. I actually think your assignment would be I would have you be in act as if all week long.
Okay.
The multi-million or multi-billion, as if you had the big chunks coming in that you're wanting.
This can be a lot of fun for you, too, because if you get into that space of this is what I'm emanating, this is the vibration I'm emanating, walk down the street as if, start noticing how people start to notice you, how they look at you differently. I'm telling you, we have some friends, a couple, that they hold themselves in a way that people just assume they must be somebody, as in celebrity, which they're not. It's amazing. They'll go out, the way they dress, the way they hold themselves, the way they act. I remember they went to New York, and they said, you wouldn't believe there were these lines a mile long in these clubs they wanted to get in. And they just walked up, and he would tip his hat, and they would say, oh, come right in. They didn't know him from Jack. But that's just the way they hold themselves and the way they play. And it's awesome, and you can do the same thing. Totally.
Our magnetizing money system was all based on this whole principle of extreme inspired action because we really believe that sometimes, like we've just witnessed with Sherry, that sometimes you cannot get your mind in a good feeling place about what it is that you want. So taking the extreme inspired action is a good way to get you out of your head. Go have a little fun thrill with it because you're not attached to, okay, if I do this thing, that means I'm going to get instantaneous results. No, you're doing the action for the sake of fun. And then you'll feel more confident after you take the action because like, yeah, I just did something really cool or something I said I wanted to do. I just did it. And all of a sudden, your vibration shifts as a result of the action. So it's kind of the opposite way we've been working up until this point. We're coming in the back door by saying, just go take a cool action first and let that shift your energy.
Which is the pure energy? Focus on the pure energy, and what you still want must come because it's already out there. And you can't help but have the desires for what you all want. And this is what's also so great about these universal laws is that when you can't get yourself, or if you do have muddled energy, if you can totally focus on something that you have the purer energy for, even if you've got your eye off of the other thing, at least you don't have your eye on what's not working, right? And therefore, the energy is pure so that these things that you're wanting can come in. 2 years before we got our cabin cruiser. Rob and I, we'd go to all the boat shows, and we'd look at them, and we would talk to them, and they'd say, well, how soon do you think you're going to be buying? We'd say, well, probably in about 6 months or so, and we would get on their list, and we would have conversations with them, and we would ask them where was the best insurance companies, and who did they work with in banks, and it was a lot of fun.
One of the things that I did was, is one of my dreams is to buy my boyfriend his dream car, which is a Porsche. And I'm really clear that he's not buying it for himself. I'm really clear that I'm buying this for him. I went for his birthday. I went and rented him a Porsche for the weekend. And I also went to the dealership and said, I'm going to get married in a few months, and I want to buy this as a gift for a wedding present for my boyfriend. And I had the guy saying, like, well, we could add this on it, and you could have this. I got so excited. I know my vibration went through the roof. And it was so much fun. And it was a little heart palpitating to make the story up, too. And I just found it just rolling off my tongue. And I this guy was so helpful to me. And I walked away with these beautiful catalogs, and I included that in the gift for his birthday. Extreme action is supposed to be fun. Your heart might pound a little bit, but it's the kind where you're like, I so know I'm going to be just so excited that I did this. It's going to be, like, very energizing. It's kind of like, I dare you.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
I dare you
to go
big. We triple dog dare you.
I'm trying to think of an extreme action.
It'll come.
So think about particularly your 90-day intentions. Do a what-if-up game. You know, the what-if-up game is where you do get outrageous. Yeah, like, what if I am on Oprah? What if I become, you know, really get outrageous with things? And then when the ideas come, see where you can apply those to your, some inspired extreme actions to those 90-day intentions and share it with us.
Some of the wonderful things that have happened to Eve and I is just because we just said, okay, let's just, who cares? Let's do it. Let's try it. We don't know what we're doing.
Ready, fire, aim.
Yeah. I love it.
So have fun with this. If you need suggestions and you're still in a couple days, there hasn't been any inspiration, throw up.
Yeah, email us. Yeah, let us storm with you.
Oh, we'll dare you.
Yep.
Yeah, you jumped out of planes.
Uh-huh. Doesn't mean that I wasn't scared. Somebody dared me to do that.
Awesome.
Okay, ladies.
Great call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.